Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cisternino here, getting you ready for our Big Brother Canada Friday wrap up. We're going to talk with Spencer Clausen from Big Brother US 15. He's a guy who really knows his stuff. Looking forward to chatting with Spencer. Before we get to today's show, which is also going to include exit interviews with Zach and Peely after our conversation with Spencer, we have got a lot to get to today, but I want to thank our sponsor. Those are our friends over at True Car, because when you're making a big purchase, like buying a new car, you want and expect a transparent buying process, a process that will give you confidence to know you're getting a fair deal. So to really understand the power of transparency, check out the True Car and True Car mobile app, because with True Car, not only can you configure the car you want and how you want it, but you can see what other people are paying for the same car you're looking for down to the zip code. So you know what you can expect to pay for the car you want. Pretty transparent. And once you decide on the car you want, lock in guaranteed savings on average over $3,000 off MSRP. Then you'll be connected with a trusted True Car certified dealer that will honor your savings without negotiation. So when you're ready for a new transparent car buying experience, save time, save money, never overpay. Download the True Car app today. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who couldn't be more excited to talk about Big Brother at the end of the day, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our Big Brother Canada wrap-up. This is our final Friday of the Big Brother Canada season. Can you believe it? And here we are. We've got a great show because we are joined by somebody. One of the titans of Big Brother podcasting is joining us here today from Big Brother 15. Here he is. You know him from On the Block. Here is Spencer Clausen. Spencer, how are you?
Hey, what's up, man? I'm really glad to be able to do this again with you. I always love it. Doing your podcast.
Yeah, well, we had a lot of fun, I felt like, in the summer, and you really know your stuff when it comes to this, so I was glad that we were able to get you in before the end of the season.
Well, I just fake that I know my stuff. That's why I wait till there's only four house guests left, and one, you know, there's already an HOH crown, so it makes my job pretty easy to speculate.
Yeah, you got a 1-in-4 shot tonight of picking
exactly,
the winner.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. All right. And joining us to talk about what's going on the live feeds, of course, you know this guy, Taryn Armstrong is back. And Taryn, you look like you are about to take like a yearbook photo with your background tonight.
I know. I have a new colored wall.
Wow. I like it. Very nice. Very nice. And speaking of colored walls, let's bring in another one of our live feed reporters. Here is Shannon Bauer.
Hi.
How you doing, Shannon?
I'm good.
Great. All right. So we are live here. Of course, we are just days after a double elimination. Only what, Spencer? How many episodes left? Sunday, Monday, and then Wednesday? That's
three.
It?
Three. Yeah, three eps left. Yep.
Three shows away from the Big Brother Canada finale. And then we start the march to Big Brother US, which do you know the premiere date off the top of your head? Was it like June 24th?
So that sounds right, but I couldn't swear to it. That does sound right, though.
24th, 25th. That's very exciting. So we're about just outside of a month until Big Brother US kicks off. So it's going to be a really, really quick turnaround between these two. Spencer, do you like that they're close together now?
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. I do like it, honestly, because it crams all your Big Brother into about 6 months, and then you can have 6 months off. So that's what I dig about it. But no, it's fine. It didn't take me long to turn around and prep, get ready for another one. So
yeah, they should. The day that the Big Brother Canada ends, they should announce the cast for Big Brother US.
I would like that.
Just to go back to back. All right. So, of course, we're live here on a Friday night. We got the chat room open here on robswebsite.com. We're also taking your tweets, hashtag REJP. And then we're also going to take your questions on our YouTube channel at robswebsite.com/YouTube. Also, we have been so busy this week on the podcast and on the website that it was the Survivor finale. We sent 20 people back to Survivor this week. And so we have all this other stuff going on. Then I had Shane Powers out of nowhere wanted to come to my house, and I did like, 90 minutes of Frost Nixon with Shane Powers last night. So we're just behind on the exit interviews on Big Brother Canada. So what we're going to do is I talked with Zach and Peely on Thursday. That was only yesterday. It feels like it was a week ago. And we're going to post that at the end of this podcast. So if you're listening to the audio version of this, just keep listening because you're going to go right into Zach and Peely. Or if you're watching this on the YouTube, when we post the audio version of that, we'll post also in that same episode after this part of the show is over. We'll go right into Zach and Peely. All right. So nice talk with both of them. Zach was good. He didn't seem like he was too bitter. Peely was Peely, Spencer.
Yeah, I was not afraid of that.
She's very nice.
Yes, she does. Oh, she seems super pleasant.
Yeah.
So she's a sweetheart.
Yes. So let's get into talking about this. And so here we are after the double elimination, and I was somewhat surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been, but at the point where Ashley wins the power of veto, okay. Spencer, were you surprised that it's the decision of Sarah and Brittany to keep Godfrey in the house and vote out Pilar?
Watching, I think that was the wrong decision in the game. I know that they were super focused on breaking up a duo, and that's all they're going to do. There was no other option for them. They don't realize how dangerous Godfrey is, I don't believe. I know from some exit stuff with Zach and Peely, they don't have any faith in Godfrey at all. And
no.
I think that he looks like a joke. So to them.
So as a TV show viewer, I have felt good about Godfrey. And I think Godfrey has a good shot to win this thing. But like in doing these exit interviews and talking to the people, you know, as they come out of the house, nobody is like, boy, Godfrey, he's playing one hell of a game in there. If he gets to the end, he's got the vote. And Zach was asked both on the sideshow, and I followed up with him about this. He says Sarah's going to win. Nobody's talking about Godfrey as the winner.
No. Godfrey's played the kind of game that we've enjoyed as DRs. We found him funny. He's a great house guest. He is enjoyable to watch. He has been articulate with the strategy that he's working out, which has made the viewers really like him instead of just a guy that's in there that in any other season be called a floater. I think that he's played a very unique game. I think that he's played a game that really deserves a lot more praise than it's going to get by his fellow house guests. But I think it's a shame, but I don't believe there's a chance that Godfrey wins it.
Wow. Can you think of another Big Brother player that was seemingly playing a good game, but the people in the house did not feel like is playing a good game? I feel like we always see the opposite where, you know, people are talking about somebody who's, oh, that person's playing a good game and we're not seeing it. But I really feel like Godfrey has done a good job this season, but it doesn't seem like anybody in the house shares that opinion.
No, when basically there became two sides of the house and Godfrey really wasn't in any side. He's just been, he's basically the guy that wasn't in your alliance that you liked enough not to target is Godfrey's position in the house. And as the sides started battling, he just kind of found a real fluid place in the middle to stay. You know, Andy Heron always talks about how he's played the middle better than anybody's ever played before, all this kind of stuff. Dude, Godfrey's done that. When Andy played, there wasn't two legitimate sides of the house. It was a broken up super alliance from week one or two. And everybody thought Andy was on their side. Everybody's kind of, they're on to Godfrey, but Godfrey has absolutely had to play the middle and come up with good arguments, good points to keep him or to not see him as a target. Godfrey is underrated by his house, but I'm glad that he's getting the love outside the house that he deserves.
So do you see Godfrey like an Andy? Because I feel like they seem different in terms of like Andy was sort of like trying a lot harder than Godfrey. But I guess in some ways we do see Godfrey bounce from person to person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, Godfrey, he covers his bases with everybody. That's very important. He does smart things. Like yesterday he was grappling with Sarah and he was like, oh man, yo, now that Peely's gone, I can't win against anybody. You know, he plays these little kind of like head games and he's super smart. Andy was always on the ends. He was always involved in decision-making, the things that were going on in the house where Godfrey has not been. So, you know, in a way, I'm not saying that Godfrey's a superior player than Andy. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying it's harder to play the middle when you don't have all the information than it is when you do have all the information. So I feel like Godfrey has played a stellar game.
Yeah, to me, I guess the scenario in my head that I always imagined in Godfrey winning was I always imagined him up against Peely in the end. And I always just imagined him in that final two just saying like, I'm up here against Peely, yo, it's Peely. Yeah. I just saw him like being like really animated about that. Just like calling the attention to the fact that he was there with Peely and somebody was going to be bringing Peely there to the end. And he was going to win that final three HOH and then take her to the end. But yeah, I don't, you know, it's a good point. I'm not sure he could beat any of these people with the jury.
You know, I don't know. You know, he could have a compelling speech that might gain a vote or two for him, but I don't think it'll put him over the mark to win.
How about this?
Go ahead.
Would the diapers vote for him over one of Sarah or Brittany?
No, I don't believe so. I think Zach is hell-bent on Sarah winning this thing. If given the opportunity to vote for her, he's dying to, which will also carry huge influence over Kevin in the jury house. Jordan, you've got Peely voting however Kevin votes. And then, if Ashley's there, I don't know. I just don't see it.
You know, he's going to be up against, and I don't want to make this all about Godfrey, but if he is in that final two, you know, Ian Terry talks about this when we have him on the podcast about how when he was in the house, you know, Mike Boogie told him about, you know, it's about your resume when you get to the final two, that I won this many comps and I had this, and all those three women have won. And Godfrey really has not.
Doesn't matter. I agree. It's about the resume. But look what Godfrey has on his resume that nobody else has. Godfrey has on the season that I've been a little turned off by just due to as many twists as we've had. I think that Twistos has really exercised their advertising dollar and controlled the way the game goes.
Sales of Twistos gone through the roof.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, if you've got a corporation that's sponsoring your twists, they're going to try to get as much bang for their buck as possible. And I think that Godfrey's unique ability to basically work his game around some heavy, heavy twists that come, the saves, you know, which is basically a coup d'etat, the triple eviction, the double eviction, you know, the veto when Bruno had it that he could use, somebody coming back in the house. Like, these things didn't hurt Godfrey, but they really hurt everybody else. And there's something to be said for that agile style of gameplay, that he was never in a position where he got bit. And everybody who was in power each week thought that they could depend on Godfrey to exercise their will. So Godfrey's kind of like, you know, hey, you know, I'm here, use me the way you need to. You know, like when he went and kind of made this fake deal with Kevin and Peely, he was like, I'll be on the block. I don't want you two on the block. You keep me around. I'll be on the block. I need you two to vote for me. We'll work together. We'll do that kind of stuff. And he's made some kind of gutsy game moves. And I wish I was sitting here telling you I think he could win it. I just don't think he can. But I'm arguing a winning game, in my opinion, when you talk about stuff that he's done.
Who do you think is his best bet to sit next to in that final two?
Nobody.
What about Brittany? Or I feel like Ashley is bad. Right? Ashley's the worst, right?
Ashley's the worst. Sarah's second worst, tied for worst. I mean,
Brittany.
You know,
Brittany could be.
Brittany would be his absolute best person to sit up next to. If he could point out each twist, where Brittany was in relationship to each twist that happened, whether it directly impacted and helps her game. And if she could have done that without the aid of a twist, which he had no benefits of any twist or any advantages. So I don't know. It depends if he constructs an argument. I think that they do feel like Sarah's the brains of the operation. Brittany's just won when she's needed to a point. So there's an argument. There's an argument there.
Yeah, to me, and it's so crazy again to see Brittany, you know, back into power in this double eviction. And it's so wild, like every time there's been some sort of special power in the house, it's always Brittany that ends up getting it. And good on her. I'm not saying it's like any sort of favoritism or anything like that. She really has. I said this a couple of weeks ago on the show. She's really been just like the Pac-Man in the house, where she's just chased around the house all season long. And then from time to time, she just gets that like big dot sometimes. And then she's the one. Mah, 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 yep. Mah. And then afterward, then it, like for like 20 minutes on the live show. And then she goes back to, okay, I'm gonna move around.
Yeah, no, that's a brilliant analogy. I totally agree. That is exactly how her game's going. she spent a lot of time not knowing what to do, running around, and then boom, a twist happens right when she knows there's big threats and she knows she needs to target them. She's at least aware that she's played the twists well, but you know, I do. That Pac-Man analogy is beautiful.
She's queen of the twist. Queen of
she is
queen twist style.
She is. So hey, I like Brittany. She's in my all my preseason pools. So I'm glad. I'm glad she's doing well. But
okay, so then let's shift the focus away from Godfrey. Now, if it came down to Sarah and Brittany getting to the end together, who do you think wins in that matchup?
Sarah.
Sarah. Is it close?
Is it close? No, I don't think so. I don't think, I mean, like, are their games close? Yes. Are the votes going to be close? I don't think the votes were reflected. I don't think we'll get down to like a Maggie Yvette season 6 type, vote where one vote decides the whole thing. It's possible. In my opinion, watching, I think that would be a really good end of the season if Sarah won by one vote against Brittany. And just because they have both played good games and they should be proud of what they have accomplished. But juries don't vote like that anymore in these shows. Don't seem like, it seems like they pretty much kind of decide who they're going to vote for. And they all go, okay, well, we'll vote for Sarah.
You know, I would be excited to see Sarah and Brittany get to the end, because it would be, you know, cool to have a season where you have two women, you know, be like the, Dan and Memphis, where they were the Renegades. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to go down to the end, or like, you know, just have two women just pair off and then they end up making a run for daylight, like a Thelma and Louise.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, this is, you know, people in Big Brother are always talking about how they want their girls' alliances. They want their girls' alliances. Well, what do you want? A girl powerhouse alliance where you got six girls in it? I mean, this has been a really good, you know, all girl alliance. The Fembots. Is that what they officially go by? Is Fembots?
Darren?
Yeah. I mean, that was their alliance from like day one.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't heard that. I hadn't heard them say that in a long time.
They don't usually use it, but.
Yeah. They don't. But no, I've, that it's been a very strong two-person alliance. They've been great together. They've really worked well off each other. Sarah always reminded me of like a female McCray, like somebody that you could bounce a lot of ideas off of, that could talk, you know, kind of knew their way around the game and could kind of point you in a good direction. And Brittany has been an excellent sounding board. She's won when she needed to. She's given counter arguments, play devil's advocates and strategy sessions and played a good game. They're definitely there's an argument for either of them to win. I don't think that it's a situation where Sarah is like a Derek and Brittany's a Cody. I don't necessarily feel that way, but they're a lot closer. They're a lot closer than that scenario.
Spencer, Sarah has reminded me of McCray as well a lot this season. In many ways.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think they have a lot in common.
They certainly do. I think they certainly do.
All right. Taryn, could you just set up how many people are going to be in this jury? What is the official number on this? Is it a 10-person jury we're looking at potentially?
Well, potentially, but there's going to be some sort of surprise. So it could be anything.
Have we announced it? Is there news about some sort of jury surprise?
Yeah, well, she mentioned on the show that there was going to be some surprise for the jury when they went to vote, I think.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I did hear her say that. Now, I think it was, Ian said that he hopes that Canada votes to nullify one of the jurors, something like that. Works for me. She said they're through with twists, but that sounds like a twist to me, but I don't know. They've got it. They have to do something.
Would you like that idea to have Canada nullify a vote?
No. Okay. Yeah, Canada will do it. Sure. I mean, I could see them doing it.
Whose vote will they nullify? Zach?
Let's see. Who do they like the least on there? Who would they nullify? I don't know who they would nullify. That would be tough. Zach, very possibly. It depends on when the voting started, and it depends on who wins veto and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? I guess to talk about getting to the very end game, what potential votes could have a lot of weight.
Because it's weird. It's a season. We don't have a real villain in the house or somebody that they really don't like. And who do they care enough about to see that they get their vote canceled?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of thought that it would be interesting if whoever left third got to nullify a vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be some strategy to that. You know, it would just be kind of a unique thing to do to uneven out the jury, I guess you'd say. I don't know. Would you like to see Canada have that much power in this game to nullify a vote?
I don't think I'd really want to see 11 jury votes. I mean, if Canada was going to get a vote also, I mean, that's a lot of votes.
So you would rather Canada nullify a vote than to have a vote?
I mean, does Canada have to have a vote? With all due respect to Canada, I mean, in Big Brother US, we don't get a vote in the, you know, do they have to have a vote? Don't we have a lot of votes already?
I think so. Yeah. I wish they'd do a 7-person jury. You know, here's the twist. Fight harder to get here in the jury. Don't have this, you know, I get into a mega alliance and I can coast for 4 weeks than be in the jury. You know,
I think there was only 4 people in the season that weren't on the jury.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Risha, Greg,
Johnny. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was it.
So, I know. Wow.
So with the jury management now being an issue, we have Ashley seems like the person who would be the darling of the jury. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely. I think
just because it's all her friends in the jury house.
Yeah, she's got friends. I don't want to. Before we start talking about Ashley too much, I want to put out that I've been kind of backing Ashley this whole game, thinking that she's really playing a lot better game than she gets credit for. And I think that with proper jury management, I don't think she can beat Sarah, but man, I think she could beat Brittany or Godfrey. So,
well, because she has friends on the jury, or because you feel like that she's done a good job?
I think that Ashley has done a good job, honestly.
All right. Well, I haven't seen that, but you are the expert, so talk to me.
I'm far from an expert, but this is, let me paint you this picture. Okay. Think about last season when Allison came in the house. The first thing she did is she latched onto Andrew Gordon. Okay. She could see him on the screen. They were able to watch in the secret room. She could tell he was the big dog and was drawn to that, thinking it would provide her safety. Okay. Didn't work for her. Okay. Cause the Canada being HOH twist and getting Andrew out. Okay. Apply that strategy as Ashley's strategy to Zach. She saw who the big dog in the house was. She saw who everybody talked to, who everybody wanted to talk strategy with, talk game with. He obviously had connections with JP. Chop Shop was looking good. And she latched onto him and hung on and rode him up into the point that his game was worthless to her. He was so toxic, you know, but rode through any help from Chop Shop, any help from Newport, any help from Fortress, she was safe using him as a meat shield. And now that we've gotten to the point where Zach's not in the house anymore, she's won comps. She's done a good job. She's been winning. She has won comps. She hasn't been just a totally waste a player. She controlled Zach, who controlled the majority of a large percentage of the game. And I think that you've got to really commend her for that. Now, it is kind of like a girlfriend game to a point. But it's still a game, and if she makes it, you know, to the final two, I think she will have to win out. So those additional wins on her resume would be a strong argument to the jury, especially with all the friends she already has. I think her game could sway the votes that might not be initially there for her.
All good points. My question for you is, do you feel like she got involved with Zach due to the fact that she felt like it was a game thing, or did she get involved with Zach because he's a good looking guy and it wasn't really mostly a game thing?
I think a little bit of both.
Cause if Zach's an ugly guy, sure. I would have a lot more, like, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? That guy, she spent a lot of time with that guy and he's not a good looking guy.
No, I mean, she wouldn't like cuddle up to like the Elephant Man or anything like that. But you've got to look at this.
See, that's what I like.
Zach can't help that he's good looking, charming, athletic, and charismatic, which controlled a lot of people's opinions in the house about a lot of other people. Ashley was probably attracted to that, absolutely. But she also saw the game benefit in there. We saw that with her loyalty to Peely as it got towards the end instead of Zach. We saw that. I think that Ashley, if we saw how she voted, which kind of proves where her head's at, not even throwing like a sympathy vote his way. So, dude, I mean, you could look at it like she sucked all the life out of him like a parasite. Wow. And then when he was done, she voted him out, and she's played, her own game from here. And she's got a chance to win. I really think she's got a strong chance to win, depending on who she sits next to. As long as Sarah's not there, I think Ashley wins it.
Does she have to win out in terms of HOH? Does she need to, win out in terms of vetoes and HOH?
Okay, this next veto, her. Okay, we can talk about spoilers, right?
Let's just do it, because we're at the final. Okay. We're at the final four.
Yeah.
Spoilers. All right.
Okay. Really? So
here, Shannon, bring us up to speed on the on the HOH.
Sarah won HOH.
Okay, what was the competition?
I'm not sure what the competition was. I just know that she ended up nominating both. Obviously, not nominating Brittany, so nominating Godfrey and Ashley.
Okay. But again, at the final four, it all comes down to veto.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Spencer, yeah. All right. So where are we now?
Well, I mean, now you got to speculate on who you think is going to win the veto, which is impossible.
Are the feeds down right now, or they're up?
Feeds are down. Yeah, yeah. I've got them queued up, but they're down still. They better come back soon, because tomorrow's the last day of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, tomorrow's last day of feeds.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's crazy how quickly it's gone.
Oh my god.
Right now. I mean, Shannon, Taryn, what do you think? Do y'all think, y'all been watching the feeds, what do y'all think as far as who Brittany would want to vote out? And do you think she would play, is she playing Brittany's game, or is she playing Sarah's Brittany's game with who she decides? So, because I honestly don't know. I can see a lot of pros and cons with taking either. Ashley is a better competitor, I think, they think, in their mind. So going into final HOH, to me, she'd be dangerous to take. So I would see sending Ashley home be the smart thing, which I would like personally, because that would take Godfrey farther and give the old Godfather a chance to win the final HOH. But what do y'all think? It's almost a coin toss in a lot of ways.
Sarah and Brittany will take out Ashley 100%. They see her as a huge jury threat, so they want Godfrey in the final three with them. But I don't know what Godfrey will do, because he makes very valid arguments for both sides when he's talking to both sides. So
yes,
we don't know what he'll do.
No, absolutely. It would be interesting to see. I would like to see Ashley win the veto in some ways, because she would send B home, and it would be fun to see no alliance in the final three, and who takes who and why. I would like to see that, and not just be like, we've been from day one, we're taking each other. I don't want that. I want going almost hand to hand combat, but I think I can beat you because I was sharper in my moves.
Yeah, that's interesting. And Spencer, to me, can you come up with another season where you get to the final three and you have three people who can all have like a valid claim to the throne of, why they should be winners in the season? And they've all sort of taken different paths. And even like outside, like it seems like that you always get to the final three. There's one person who's just like a goat, who that it really is like, all right, that person's just there because they're an easy beat in the end. And maybe some people might even see Godfrey as that. I don't think that would be the case with Godfrey, but can you think of another Big Brother season where we had that? I guess the original Big Brother Canada won with, Jillian and Emmett and Gary.
Yeah, but that's not even, is that even what you're asking? You got to put Jillian and Emmett together. Are you talking about like a final three where everybody took different paths?
And none of them are goats.
Yeah, none of them are goats. That, as far as none of them are goats, that's a great example. BB Can won.
With all due respect to the great Gina Marie.
With all due respect to the great Gina Marie, sure. I think that Big Brother season 12, I don't really see Enzo as a goat.
Okay. But those guys were all together the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They're all together. I can't place a scenario like you're talking about.
It's interesting.
The three all got their different ways, and they were all strong in their own way. I can't think of another season.
Well, that'd be fun.
There is one.
Yeah.
Wow. Big Brother Canada. The twists have made it. It's like everything is twisted together. All the alliances are twisted together. There's no that. It's crazy. It's like a tornado.
One thing I want to say about it, and I feel like the reason it's this way, BB Can 3 did something that I wish that Big Brother 17 would do. The state, I bitch about this all the time, but the state of current Big Brother is typically whoever's the first HOH, you just kiss their butt and build the largest alliance around this person possible. And then there's the side of the house that just can't get it together. And you've got the side of the house that if they can only like each other, you know, moving forward, they can get the votes and win, you know, and get far in the game. By having everybody be HOH, and there wasn't a real HOH to identify with during that week where Risha and Peely were you know, campaigning, not knowing that Kanda was going to be the deciding vote, you know, people kind of saw who they liked and formed different alliances. The Chop Shop was a major alliance, but it was composed of other smaller alliances. And I think that by not having an HOH for everybody to huddle around first week made it to where there were a lot stronger, smaller alliances that I like to see.
You know, as we start to look ahead towards Big Brother 17, there was a lot of commercials on during the Survivor finale for Big Brother 17. And I have to say they were terrifying because it was the same one they kept running. And they showed, like, you know, Donnie running around like, "Hey, Big Brother, it's coming back." And it ended with like Frankie Grande, like talking about like there's twisty twists. And Julie says it's going to be the twistiest year ever. Like, no, stop.
Derek was barely even in it, right?
Yeah.
Man, Derek's problem is he's a great winner, but he's not a big enough cartoon character.
Yes, that's true. We have that on Survivor too. You know, where is the market research in North American Brother that twists equals ratings? Why? Who is it? Like, are they just sitting in meetings? Like, you know what I think we need this summer? We got to get some more twists in that house. Like, how are we going to promote this show? We got no twists.
Yeah, absolutely. And because of the framework that Big Brother has, is there's the HOH and a veto and stuff. Like, there's very few things that you can do. There's very few ways that you can alter the game, but there's numerous ways. What I'm trying to say is you can affect the HOH, you can affect the veto, you can affect nominees, you know? And you look, it to me, BB Canada 3 has almost embarrassed themselves with so many twists.
Yes. I mean,
it was almost like there's just one or two too many. So there's one about every week. You know, if you look at the people that have gone home or gone to jury, most of them are sitting there because of a twist. And I think that is total BS. And I don't like that. You got Pilar and Zach, double eviction. So you can say Pilar got sent out by a twist. Willow Kevin sent home by a twist. Cindy was a twist, came back in. But Jordan is in the jury. And he's there because of Cindy coming back in the house, which was a twist. So the twist has affected too many exits from the house, and that's my only issue with it.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry, I got on a soapbox. Sorry,
that's fine. That's what we're talking about. And you know, Big Brother US doesn't have as many twists as the Big Brother can. Certainly not as many. No show I think ever has had as many twists as Big Brother can 3.
No, but I don't think so.
We've been talking about this for a long time of doing this Big Brother think tank. I know Mike Bloom is. I see him in the chat room. So let's actually do that, because at least let's put some good ideas for twists out there. If Big Brother is going to do a million twists. When we do, we'll do that as a special podcast. And Spencer, we'd love to have you as part of that if you were up for it.
Oh, please invite me.
Here's what we'll do. We're going to take ideas from, I'm going to crowdsource all the ideas, and then let's talk about if they're good or not.
Okay.
All right. We'll do that in the off season in between. Okay. Can I say one of the things that I really loved from the show the other night was when Pilar got voted out. And then she wanted to go and change before she went out to go see.
Yes.
She's like, "Can I change? Can I change?" Like, no, you can't. There's no. We're not gonna. Like, everybody's not gonna wait for you to change, Pilar.
Yeah.
And I also loved that she like walked out with like she like needed like a water bottle. I don't know why she had to like she took the water bottle with her. Like, do they not have water in the jury house?
Yeah, she was like, it's kind of like on The Jerk when Naven Johnson is. Bankrupt or whatever, and he's leaving his mansion. He's like, I don't need anything. I need this. Have you never seen The Jerk?
You know what? I've seen parts of it, but not the whole thing.
Oh, man. well, somebody out there is watching, laughing their ass off at my jerk reference.
Let's. I'm not going to make the segue to talk about this. I want to talk about the sideshow. Okay. So did you watch Peter and Zach their interchange on the sideshow?
I did watch that. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
So I'm interested to know what you thought about all that and the way that was handled. We had Peter on the show on Tuesday. We suspected this was coming. He teased it a little bit. What did you think about the Peter and Zach part of the sideshow?
Everything I'm about to say is with all due respect to Peter Brown. I really admire him and the way he looks at the game and his, you know, assessment and speculation that he does. I enjoy the Schultz show and everything. However, I don't feel like necessarily ripping somebody who's played arguably the best game of the Big Brother Canada 3 season, ripping them 20 minutes outside the house about a tweet they sent 2.5 years ago is really, I don't think, like, he's a panelist on the sideshow to talk game. Yes, there's obviously some whatever he says, comedic, whatever. His humor is obviously you know, he's kind of roasting people and that kind of stuff. But at the same time, as an audience member, as a viewer, I want to hear more about Zach's game and his thoughts on that, more so than a 2.5-year-old tweet. Zach was probably sitting over there going, I don't even know what you're talking about.
I was so surprised that they didn't even show it on the screen. Like, Arissa wasn't like, okay, Zach, do you remember sending this tweet? And then put it up on the screen. Like, do you remember every tweet that you sent? Like, I can't remember Zach even like had any recollection of that this was even going to come.
It's crazy to think that. And this is what I want to say about it. Okay. Big Brother is unique. And so is Survivor in that they've been on long enough that you've got super fans playing them. Okay. And you've got people that have loved it for 15 years that are getting in there and they're making their mark on the game. Zach is a fan. He's somebody who's loved the show, got in, did excellent, and should be commended for it. You know, Peter's a big guy. They're going to put that tweet behind them and move forward. And I'm sure they're going to be great friends outside the house once they get to know each other. But it's the panel for the sideshow is not a place for, you know, stand on your soapbox about internet trolls. Especially when you then meet the person that sent the tweet and you know from watching them live feeds 24/7 for the past, whatever, 62, 63 days that they're a good human being and a good game player. So yeah.
In some ways, I know this is totally apples and oranges in terms of the subject matter. Like, I felt like it was similar to like when Aaron came out of the Big Brother house and, you know, the things that she did were not great and they were bad. But sure. In the way that they came up, like when she was confronted about them, she had no idea what they were talking about. In the same way that Zach, I'm sure, sitting there like, does he remember verbatim? Like, because Peter was like quoting like, maybe I should eat a salad. And like talking about what did I mention something about salad?
Exactly. I'm sure Zach's like, do I even follow that dude on Twitter? Like, I don't even know what I did.
What did I say?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I searched the Peter versus Zach hashtag.
Yes.
And it's pretty much overwhelmingly positive towards Peter's handling of the whole situation. And good for him.
He turned it around to say like, hey, like, and I you're gonna know what this is like. I liked all that, but I don't think that Zach necessarily lost the game because of karma, as Peter.
No way.
I don't think that's why he lost. If I had to be honest,
it had absolutely nothing to do with karma. It had absolutely nothing to do with karma.
What you tweet, Big Brother 17 people.
Yeah, you Big Brother hopefuls. Don't tweet anything out there where karma could bite you at the end.
suck it, Donnie. Hashtag BB16.
Yeah, it's like, you just lost.
Jocasta, you're an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
It's karma in the form of Twistos.
Oh, is that what it is?
Twistos is in charge of that stuff.
I think you could be right.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Okay. So, all right. Let's start to bring in some questions about this as well. So, Shannon or Taryn, is there anything that you want to let us know about that's going on in the house that we need to be aware of?
I do want to say one thing about Godfrey. Neither of you really thinks he has much of a chance, but I do remember Kevin coming out of the house saying that he thought Godfrey was playing the best game, and Willow shared that opinion. I really don't think he has as bad a chance as you might think. Obviously anything can happen in the jury. Like, their minds can change. Maybe Zach comes in and he convinces them that Godfrey's no good. Or maybe Zach comes in and Kevin convinces him that he is good. But I think if he's in the end with Ashley, he might have, you know, Bruno, Bobby, the girls, and maybe even Kevin. So, you know, I think he has a real shot.
You know,
go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say that you mentioned Willow, and I did. I was reminded of the stuff in the jury house where she was just devastated when Bruno came in, and he was like, "I took so much glee." He was like Peter Brown talking to Zach about how it was Sarah that voted against you. So what?
Yeah, that was it. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that because
did he get that story right totally?
No.
Okay. Good. All right, yeah. Spencer, take it away.
I love Bruno. I really do. I think he's a good guy. I think the game ends when you walk out of the house. I don't think trying to play, you can prevent facts and try to sway an argument, but I don't think the withholding of information or embellishing of things. I don't think a jury house. I don't particularly like that. That is as aggravating to me as like a bitter jury. And
you never had to spend any time there, Spencer.
Yeah, true.
You don't know what it's like. Yeah.
Well, I still don't. That's not one of my. That's not one thing that I like. I don't like it. I want people to go there and just be honest. And I want best game to win, not somebody who had the best jury. You know, Philadelphia lawyers. trying to champion their cause in the jury house.
Right. So. All right. So let me just talk through this. Okay. So Shannon, tell me now, was Bruno trying to like embellish the truth, or was that how events went according to Bruno's mind, even though that wasn't exactly how things went down?
Honestly, to me, it seemed like he was just being entirely bitter about it. And I was really like upset with Bruno because he went out so classy and I loved his game so much. And I was like, why? Like, I don't mind that he told her and was honest with her about it. I was just really frustrated that he didn't tell her the whole truth about it and like why Sarah felt like she had to vote for Pilar.
Yeah.
To be fair to Bruno, I think I'm pretty sure Willow did her house guest hangout after she had been in the jury for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure she knew. She knew the circumstance, like the full story. So that might have just been the initial like telling of it, and the full story kind of came out later, and they kind of you know jazzed it up for the edit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because Taryn, could you just for the sake of our memories, just explain how it went down? We had that confrontation between Bruno and Sarah in the storage room.
Right. So after Willow goes up on the block in the triple eviction, Bruno and Godfrey were talking about, like, should we keep Willow? Should we keep Pilar? And then Sarah came in and they got into a big argument about whether Sarah was going after Bruno and trying to get him up on the block. And so Sarah came out of that conversation convinced that Bruno wasn't going to keep Willow, but he hadn't made up his mind yet, and he ultimately did decide to keep Willow. So when she votes to save Pilar, that's actually the vote that sends Willow home because she just wanted to keep a girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So a lot of drama going on at the jury house, and they're making like viral videos, a lot of shenanigans over there, Spencer.
Yeah, I know. I like it. I like the video they did about what was the jury house. It was like a cheesy 80s sitcom opening. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, they're sitting around, they've got cameras and they got to fill up airtime. Might as well do fun things, because it has been argued a few times that some of the better personalities went out early jury or even pre-jury. I don't particularly subscribe to that, but, you know, so I like that they're utilizing their jury.
Okay. All right. Let's take some questions here from the audience. Let's start with Lady Rock, 11-4-33. Can you speak more in depth about Sarah's game? She's been praised as a mastermind. Sadly, I don't see it. I see her as a logical player with little to no influence. Do you agree? If not, what are her effective moves? All right, Spencer, talk to me about Sarah's game. Now, she's been a great performer in the challenges, too.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's held her own.
Strategically, what do you think her best moves were?
Strategically, her best moves. Honestly, like, I don't mean this to slight her game, but the best moves came out of the decisions that evolved, that happened around the twist, in my opinion. Like, just basically, her relationship with Brittany made her a better game player. So, when the powers were shifting, and Brittany got the saves, and when Vito or when HOH and the triple eviction, I can't point to any specific moves that I feel like set her as like one of the best game players ever, but I don't think that's what's being said. I think that she's a very logical player. Like I said earlier, she talks out a lot of strategy. I think that's what gives people a almost like a mastermind quality to the feeds, is if you're talking about any possible scenario that could happen, and then one of them actually does happen, and it looks like you're kind of prepared for it. But I don't know. I'm not being a purist here. I can't say. I'm stuck. Taryn, what do you think? What moves do you think that she made?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I think most of the moves she made were unfortunately almost hurtful to her game. They kind of impeded it.
So why don't we say that Brittany is a better player than Sarah? Everybody's Sarah. Why aren't we giving Brittany the bigger piece of the pie?
Well, I think the same thing is kind of true for Brittany. But I think the best thing they've done strategically is win competitions and be liked by Canada.
Okay. Yes. Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah. Like, the best thing they did strategically, and if you're going to play Big Brother Canada 4, try to be on the outs about week three.
No, we've talked
really
about this.
Really ham it up as the all-Canadian girl or guy in the diary room, and you're trying to win it for Canada and try to get some help.
And how the people in power are all dumb and stupid.
The people in power are always dumb and stupid.
People are so dumb. Yeah.
Yes. So Jeremy Collins would kill it on Big Brother Canada. Shannon, is there anything that you can think of to help us place why Sarah should win the game?
For me, Sarah, like, when Brittany and Sarah aren't in power, like, one of them's not in power, I feel like Sarah's more social and she's still playing the game, whereas Brittany, I don't know where she goes. I feel like she's amazing when she's in power, but when she's not, like, I don't know what she's doing. I don't know. She kind of just... She's there, but not.
Janet, that's excellent. That's an excellent point, and it's 100% true. I do feel like Sarah plays the game constantly. I feel like Brittany plays the game when she's got a power to use, or she is in power. But no, Sarah is hustling. I mean, you saw Sarah campaign for Brittany when Brittany had the saves. I mean, she's out there and she's beating the bushes. She hustles a lot more than Brittany. And that needs to be that should be rewarded if they get to the final two together.
Yeah, Brittany is like a superhero where she has like this mild mannered, like sort of like identity. And then like there's like, oh, there's a crisis. Like, and she becomes Queen Bee. And then she has to go back to like, oh, I can't let anybody find my true identity. I have to put my disguise back on, put on my glasses. Yeah. Nobody will know it's me, actually, like Queen Bee. Yeah. Sarah Parks says, did Brittany lose her only chance to win the game? If she chose to evict Godfrey instead of Pilar, would she still be in a good spot to win? Well, it sounds like what you're saying, Spencer, is that Brittany's chance to win the game is to go up against Godfrey.
Yes, I believe that.
And can Brittany beat either Sarah or Ashley?
Can Brittany beat Sarah or Ashley? Okay, I heard Sarah and Brittany talk on the feed today about how different their games were and moves were different, the way they approached different moves differently, and how they came up with certain things on their own. I'm having trouble differentiating between the two games, so I would like to see a final two speech between them so they could say moves that they particularly made that was apart from each other. Did I forget the question to answer?
In terms of could Brittany beat either? Can she beat anybody else besides Godfrey?
Okay. Yeah. So that was my Sarah end of it. Ashley has a lot of friends on the jury, but honestly, I feel like that Zach says that he wants to ultimately be a juror that gives the win to the best game player. And so if it was Ashley and Brittany in the final two and Zach legitimately wanted to do that, I think he would vote for Brittany because I think that Brittany is a better game player than Ashley.
Taryn, do you see any chance Zach would do that? No, he did not. Okay. He saw no chance. Well, that's it. Well, he left. No, he left. He was so upset.
I'm out. Rob, you get into another thing too, to where, I mean, it's a shame there's only 7 days left in the house, but there are some really big competitions. And if somebody wins out, you know, like an Ashley,
right,
even against Brittany, you've got to talk, man, she won the last two HOHs. She took Brittany over, you know, Sarah or whatever, you know, whoever's left, if she makes the final three. And, it, you know, cause to stay, I think like we decided earlier, she's going to have to win the veto and she's going to have to win, I believe both, you know, two of the three HOHs, you know, obviously she's going to have to win that final HOH and decide who she sits next to. And if she does that, Ashley could very well deserve to win the game. It would be a very close race between her and Brittany at that point if it got to where those two were the final two.
Okay, let's take some more questions. This is from 604RS Propa. What do you think of Peter Brown saying on the sideshow that Britt is the least deserving to win of the remaining players, even behind Ashley? I don't think that's bad.
I don't think that's that bad. I don't think that there's anybody that does not deserve to win it if they get there in this group.
Least deserving is not undeserving.
Sure.
You know, somebody has to be the least deserving of the four. And if Ashley gets to the end, it's going to be because she won like two more competitions. Like, don't forget to factor that into the equation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And she got there with all the twists working against her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was.
Godfrey worked with the twist. Ashley had the twist work against her. She still, if she wins out and makes the final three, and then like wins out and makes the final two, that's a strong game to try to.
People in Big Brother history have self-evicted after what happened to Ashley when she was HOH. She had her picks set up. The person who she wanted to go home was going home, and then all of a sudden, somebody ends up going out of the house and Bruno wasn't like, you know, that was the end of the world for her, but
sure, you know,
it was not what she wanted.
No, it was not her plans at all. Yeah. And
her HOH was wasted.
Think about overcoming that. That's huge, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, think about overcoming that and making the end. That's really big because she was HOH when arguably the biggest twist of the season was thrown down. And, then the following week, I guess he has the following week, she lost the remainder of her alliance with the double eviction. Mm-hmm.
And you get all the blood on your hands with that and none of the benefits of it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Binky Productions wants to know, hi Rob, would it have been better to have 12 jurors than sequester them until a unanimous vote for what? All right. So are we ready for 12 angry men, Big Brother Canada style? So we get 12 jurors and they can't come out until they reach a unanimous conclusion on that. Would that be some great drama?
I mean, it would be good live feed action. Yeah, I'll give you that. Never happened, but I'd like to see it.
That would be pretty fantastic. I think at some point they'd just be like, let's just go to the party. Let's just get out of here. All right, fine. Yeah, Godfrey, okay. Fine. Let's Godfrey, go.
Give good. It to him. Let's rock.
Good. Yeah. Let's get out of here. I want to go home. This is from Andrew Kirk, who says, question for Spencer. Who does Sarah sit next to in the final two? That would be her best bet to win. Is it Queen B?
Is Queen B Sarah's best bet to win? Yeah, I mean, best bet. I mean, I think they're all good bets. I think.
Isn't it Godfrey?
What's that?
Isn't it Godfrey, though?
Very best case scenario. I mean, I think I think you could say Godfrey, but it's kind of like, you know, it's one of those things. Sarah wins regardless who she's sitting next to.
Yeah.
In my opinion. So like, you know, whether Godfrey might get one more vote than Brittany or one more vote than Ashley, if they're sitting there, it doesn't matter at that point. I still think Sarah wins it.
Okay. Man, Sarah with that $100,000 is going to be dangerous. That's going to be a fun person to hang out with for the next month.
She's going to be fun for about the next 6 months.
Six months. That's it. She's going to end up with, she's going to buy a brick, let alone go to the brick. Right.
How long have you had that joke?
No, I just came up with it. Jay Murr says, did Godfrey throw the last veto? Or is he really just that bad at comps? Will he go balls to the wall in the final HOH? You know, I think there's this sense of, oh, Godfrey is throwing all the competitions. But at some point, isn't it time for Godfrey to not throw competitions? Should we just start to say Godfrey is just bad at competitions?
Well, no, Godfrey needs to win this. The next competitions ahead of him, Godfrey needs to win 100%. I do think he threw the last veto because I think it was better for him not to win it and make a decision.
Yeah. Taryn, are you buying Godfrey's throwing vetoes and HOHs, or is he just bad at competitions?
I do buy it. Like, I have no reason to not believe him. And I don't think he's afraid of making a fool of himself in the diary room. So I don't see why he'd pretend.
Yeah, definitely not. All right. And Shannon, you're on board with that also?
Yes.
Godfrey is throwing challenges. Godfrey, could you win a challenge now? I mean, really, it's going to come down to you're going to throw yourself your chances out of the game if you don't try to win something here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Vince wants to know, a picture was tweeted that there are only 7 slots for the jury. I think Canada will vote for who will be on the jury. What do you think? Do we need Canada to vote on who gets to be on the jury, Spencer?
No, man. I don't think that's necessary. Like, the problem you have in modern day reality TV is with the impact of social media and giving your fans a voice and involving them, like, it gets too much. There's so many ways you could involve Canada if you wanted to. You could let Canada vote on what outfit Sarah is going to wear.
Ooh. Or,
you know,
save that for the think tank.
Yes, you can. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. But I mean, you can vote on
which costume do you want Sarah to wear to the finale?
You can vote on whose final two speaks. Do you want to limit to 20 seconds?
Well, that seems unfair. Yeah.
Yeah, it is unfair. But like, why not?
Yeah. What about could Canada write somebody's speech?
That would be disastrous.
Like, okay, here's the speech that Canada selected for you.
Yeah.
Like, I like beer.
Yeah.
Vote for me. Yes, that would be fun. Boy. But if you're going to do anything with letting people vote, do you like what Survivor did and vote people into the cast, Spencer?
Absolutely.
That was
dude,
good.
I don't ever vote on anything, but I voted for this.
Oh, wow. Oh, you voted for Survivor? Who was on your ballot?
I can't remember everybody, to be honest.
Who were the top people you wanted?
Top people I wanted, Terry Dietz. I wanted Shane back on, honestly.
Yeah.
I wanted Mike to have a chance to play again if he didn't get,
right.
If he didn't win. Oh, dude, how fantastic is Mike as a winner?
Very good.
I mean, oh, my God.
Really nice guy, too.
Super nice guy. Super nice guy. Yeah. We connected early in the Survivor season, and I would DM him. I'd say, "Man, you are freaking killing this," you know. And he just kind of like laughed back. But no, super good guy. Let's see. Like I said, Terry Dietz and Mike. I voted for Spencer Bledsoe. Voted Wu. Voted Shireen. Voted. How do you feel about Shireen?
I think she's going to be fun to be out there. I do think that she's going to have a uphill battle, I think, in this second time around.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know, man. She could go in after this season being very sympathetic and somebody that people know is smart and could align with to just have a number but never depend on for challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Shireen. I thought she made great TV.
Yeah.
I mean, the moment when she raised her hand and wouldn't let Will get his letter was some of the best Survivor in a while. So,
All right. Well, I think we should do this again with Big Brother. I think that was, you know, they did it with the Big Brother All-Stars and they haven't gone back to it.
Yeah. And no,
what was wrong with Big Brother All-Stars?
Nothing was wrong with it.
Then why don't we do it again? Now, it's been what, 10 years now?
Yeah. And that was like, log on to CBS.com and cast your vote. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's still, I mean, how it was a Survivor, I guess, but with social media, man, you could really push it and you could really campaign and people would get in the house. I mean, to be honest, then you'd have some morons that had a million Twitter followers that would get back in that nobody would see play again. But that's neither here nor there.
Okay. Although then, like, but depending on, you know, how that cast would go. I liked how they did, like, let Big Brother, like, the cast was voted on. Some of them got voted in by America, and some of them were the producer's picks. And that's, I think, how you need to do it.
Yeah, that's the perfect formula,
Yes, producers need to veto.
Do you have any, give me three players you want to see play Big Brother All-Stars.
Oh boy. Let's see. So people that are going to come back, Spencer putting me on the spot, just off the top of my head. I mean, I think you want to see Zach come back and see what he could do.
Why?
Cause I feel like, he was the
slept all day and came to life about 20 minutes, three times a week for live episodes and things are going to be on TV.
Yeah. But I like Godfrey too. And
you can't compare Godfrey and Zach.
Godfrey is better than Zach?
Yes.
Okay, well, good. I like Godfrey. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sorry, I cut you off. Give me two more names.
Oh, two more. Boy. Okay.
I agree with you. Zach would be on, but I agree with you.
All right. Give me Eric Stein. Let him come back and let him actually play a game.
100%.
And let Matt Hoffman come back.
I'll give you that. I'd be happy to see that. Yes. Absolutely. Especially Eric Stein. I would like to see him play without being, you know, America's player.
Oh, Spencer, and it's almost time for the Eric Stein is going to be on Big Brother rumor mill to start.
the month
long celebration of Eric Stein is going to be on the next season of Big Brother rumor mill.
Let's just go ahead and get that rumor started right
yeah,
now.
Okay, hold
I think
on.
I heard that.
Yeah, yeah. Heard that. Yeah.
Heard hold that. On.
Yeah, let me officially launch the Eric Stein is going to be on Big Brother. Okay, so here we go. Perfect.
Breaking news are happening now.
All right, I just got a text message from Eric Stein. I'm not going to be around this summer, so don't make any plans with me. I'm sorry, we won't be able to vacation in Martha's Vineyard this summer. Okay. That was a long text message from Eric Stein. Yeah. It was an iMessage. All right, let's do a couple more questions. Anthony Ward wants to know, Ash is the last member left of both the Chop Shop and the Diapers. Does she have a chance? Well, does she have? Of course she's got a chance in the final too. Is Ashley the cursed alliance person? Is any alliance she goes into, will they go down?
I mean, she is.
The cooler.
Certainly seems to be that way, I guess you'd say. So, I mean, when you get down to the final four, everybody's alliance has dwindled to some extent, of course.
Yeah.
She's the sole survivor of all those alliances.
I guess so.
She's the sole survivor.
Okay. Let's go to Chrissy, who says, what is Godfrey's final two speech to make up for his lack of comps and vetoes? Rob Godfrey impersonation, please. So what is Godfrey going to say when he gets up there? Like, the only thing I can say was that he was with Peely. I don't know if he has a good speech against anybody else.
I do think he has a good speech. I think he's aware of what he's doing. I don't think his speech will sway anybody. But, like, I think I'll be sitting at home screaming, oh, Godfrey, say this or do this, or, you know, convince him, that kind of thing. But, no, I mean, he's been, like, whatever you need Godfrey to be, that's what he is to you, you know? And that's it's powerful in this game, and it's gotten him with no allies. This far, he's basically been a lone wolf. I mean, you know, his alliance with Bruno, that was wonderful. But then you've got things like Bruno using the veto on Zach with Godfrey not knowing about it. I mean, he didn't have like a trusted ally pretty much the entire game, and he's made it this far really on cunning. I mean, he's a smart guy, and he's exercised it by knowing exactly whose butt to kiss, when to kiss it, and how to kiss it.
Yeah.
And
he'll be hilarious awesome. In that final, too, if he can get there.
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah, yeah. What's he say? Mr. Manguiza, the lady
pleaser.
How many yo's do you think there'll be in the final?
Come on. Vote for me. Yeah, vote. Give me your votes. Come on. Let's do work. Come on.
When did he become a 20?
Yeah. Let's go. Come on, Canada. Okay.
We need to have like a yo poll, pool, and whoever is closest to how many yo's he says wins. $5 in.
That's like where you have like a bunch of jelly beans in a jar and you have to count them. All right. Well, we'll do one last question here with Spencer. This is from Christopher Jackson. Says, I feel like before Willow was evicted, she was playing a very similar game to Godfrey, right in the middle and was never a target. What's the big difference between her and Godfrey?
It's easy. Showmans. Willow got involved with Sarah, which made Brittany fearful. And Willow was not playing like that great a game when she left. She was in the middle, but she was somebody that was going to likely stay that way until she stood too close to the wood chipper and fell in, which is basically what happened to her when she left. So, Godfrey's played it clean and hasn't so closely attached himself with anybody to, you know, scare others in his own alliance or vice versa or whatever. But yeah, I think that would be one of the big things is that he's played a good social game, but he didn't make a critical error that Willow did make. Cause if you look at Willow, like the people that should have really in one way kept her, got rid of her. And she was totally expendable, which Godfrey has been somebody that's been expendable, but nobody's found a really good reason to send him home because of, as I like to call it, bigger fish to fry syndrome.
Okay. Spencer, will you be heading to Toronto to take part in the Big Brother Canada festivities?
I leave Monday.
Okay. Oh, boy.
No, I do not leave Wednesday. I'll start packing Monday. I leave Wednesday. Yeah. I'm going to be there 2 days early to set up camp. Okay. No, I leave Wednesday.
But, I mean, they really, like, this is like Burning Man, the Big Brother Canada finale, right? We're starting over here, and then we're going to do this, and then we're all going to take a party bus here, and then we're going here, then we're going to this place, and then we're going to Florida, then we're going to Amsterdam, right?
It never stops.
If you get that $100,000 in Sarah's hands, that's going to be one hell of a celebration.
Exactly.
Nobody's going home.
Yep. It'll be a lot of fun if she gets that check, you know, while we're all still there. The BB Canada finale was so awesome last year. I had to go back. And sadly, McCray, I'm glad to see McCray, but he's the only one out of my cast that's going to be going. So it'll be a lot of good BB Can people and a few more BBUSers. I'm not sure exactly who, but can't wait.
Will anybody from Big Brother 16 go to Big Brother Canada? Will they honestly slum it and acknowledge Big Brother Canada besides Derek?
You know, I'm not sure. There was some talk that Derek was going to go earlier, like a couple months ago. I have not heard any follow-up on that. Christine and her husband, Tim, who are awesome people.
Donnie was up there also.
Donnie may even go back. I'm not positive.
Yeah.
I'm not positive. So, but now I don't know if the BB 16ers will descend off Mount Olympus to the finale in Toronto.
Okay. In 5 days, Spencer, the winner of Big Brother Canada will be blank.
In 5 days, the winner of, I wish I knew who won Veto, then I could have a lot better odds of getting this right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that it's Sarah's to lose.
Okay. Sarah's to lose. All right.
Ideal situation, for me, as far as, fanboy, I would like to see, honestly, I'd like to see Godfrey win it. And, yes, you know, in some ways, but, I think as things go right now, I think Sarah has got a really good chance of being the winner.
Okay, real quick, Taryn, the winner Big Brother will be?
It's almost, I think it's almost 50-50 between Godfrey and Sarah, but Sarah has the edge.
Wow, so you're bullish on Godfrey.
I really think he has a
What's
shot.
What's his path to the end?
Him and Ashley or him and Brittany.
Okay.
He has a better shot against Ashley, I think, honestly.
You think that's him winning HOH? Do you think either one of them will take him over the other?
In the final three, I think Sarah and Ashley will both take him.
Sarah and Brittany would both take Godfrey?
Brittany would take Sarah.
Yeah, you think Sarah is going to take Godfrey if given the option?
I think Sarah might cut Brittany in favor of Godfrey, but if I had to guess, I'd say she'd take Sarah. She'd take Brittany.
Okay. Excellent.
See, the problem,
John, go ahead.
The problem I see with Ashley and Godfrey getting there together, I almost feel like I don't know how that would happen because could they both survive this final four vote?
Basically, Ash or God need to win the veto and take out
veto
Brittany.
And then take out Brittany. Yeah, I mean, it is very possible. Honestly, that would be an ideal situation, what I would like to see going into the final three. So,
okay. All right. And Shannon, the winner will be who?
Sarah. But I do think that if Godfrey gets there with Ashley, granted, I don't, if it, it depends on how he gets there though, like, because people might factor in if she wins all the comp and then takes him there versus if he actually wins something and then,
yeah,
and then takes her there,
yeah,
and cuts Sarah, then I think he would have a much better shot against her. But if Sarah's with anyone, I think she has it.
Yeah, I think Sarah, I just feel like this season has kind of been her story. I feel like that, you know, it's been all the way through. She's been such a big part. She's been up. She's been down. She's been low. She's been high. Oh my God. It's the story of Sarah.
I think unfortunately for her, she hasn't been high.
No, she hasn't been high. Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens on Wednesday night. All right, Spencer, thank you so much for coming on with us. How do we check out On the Block with Spencer McCray?
It's on YouTube. Just go there and subscribe and check us out. You can also follow me at Spencer B. Clausen or McCray at McCray Chum and look for our tweets that go out with links. So we've been really bad about that this season. We've both been in a couple of transitions and BB Canada 3, we've been keeping up with it, but not podcasting like we should. So, okay.
Will you be periscoping as much as McCray?
No, I probably will not.
Yeah. Sometimes I see it pops up all the time. Oh, McCray is periscoping here. One time I watched him play pool against like his grandfather or something.
Really?
Like, what am I watching?
Oh, oh man, he's just a laugh a minute, huh? Golly. Yeah, he came a snooker with grandpa there in the lodge in Minnesota. I'm sure that was captivating.
You gotta step your game up, Spencer.
Yeah, I know. Watch out, Periscope. McCray's taking your best.
Live feeds are back.
Yeah.
All right. Great stuff tonight. Very fun, Spencer. I do hope that if you're up for it, I want to do this talking through all these twists that we could come up with. Maybe we'll put one good idea out there and we'll see it on TV someday.
That'd be awesome. Hey, if you decide to do that, involve me. Get a hold of me. I'll drop everything and come do it.
I'm just putting it's on Mike Bloom to work on getting all these ideas together.
All right.
So then if you're listening to the audio version of this or you're watching us here live, then we're going to post my interviews with Zach and Peely from yesterday. That's going to be following this on the episode here that you're listening to right now. So we are going to be then back here on Tuesday to cover everything that happens over the weekend. And then we will set you up for the finale night. And then we'll be live after the finale this Wednesday night to wrap up Big Brother Canada 3. All right. Thank you guys so much. Great stuff tonight. Spencer, pleasure talking to you again. And have a great weekend, everybody. And don't forget, if you are a Survivor fan, Evolution of Strategy Volume 2 dropped today. So go ahead. You can check that out at evolutionofstrategy.com. We talked all about Survivor Guatemala. It's 9 hours on, or 8.5 hours on Survivor Guatemala, Spencer. What a way to spend Memorial Day weekend.
I'm here. Hold on. I'm writing that down right now. Okay. I've marked my calendar. Watch out for
all right. So we're going to take a quick break. We are going to hear a short promo about Phil Hendry, another show you can hear on Podcast One. And then we're going to be back with my exit interviews with Zach and Peely.
Hi, this is Phil Hendry. Why is our podcast different from anybody else's? Quite simply, it's because every voice you hear on my podcast is mine.
Dealing with a bunch of numbskulls.
Well, I hope you're not referring to me.
Well, no, Margaret, I'm not referring to you. These are the dimwits.
Well, you better not be referring to me.
Who said I better not?
I hope you're not referring to me.
That's better. No, I'm not.
I thought it would be interesting.
The Phil Hendry Show podcast, available now on Podcast One and philhendryshow.com.
All right, so let's get into our exit interview with Zach.
Rob.
Captain Canada, how are you?
Let me say, it's an honor to finally get to speak to you after hearing JP talk about you almost 20 hours.
Yes, we have a mutual friend. Well, let's go back to that week where you were the HOH. You had all the power, and then Jordan wants to go up on the block. You put him there, and then you don't use the veto on him, and he ultimately goes home. I know that wasn't the plan, but how big of a regret was that for you at that point?
Yeah, huge regret. Probably, one or two of the toughest nights of the Big Brother journey for me. And you know what? It was down to the point where I was in one side of the house with the 5 in the chop shop. He had the 4 on the other side of the house. And we tried to get too fancy, stay down the middle, don't blow a side up just yet. And try and ride the middle. And the thing is with Big Brother is if you get too fancy, you can get caught. And we didn't keep the sides apart. I remember telling him the night, you know, before the veto, saying, how, Sarah, can you keep Sarah? And he really, really trusted Sarah. And that is something that shows how good Sarah was, because she kind of made that play happen behind closed doors. And it sucks. It eats you up. But you got to try and regroup and move on in the game, which is crazy.
So that was such a big blow to you and your game at that point. Did you ever feel like you had regrouped enough to the point where you felt like you had a clear path to daylight in the final two after that?
You know what? I thought it was going to be a rocky ride from then on out. I was trying to regroup, and I felt like it kind of built myself up into a decent position. After the triple eviction, I thought I looked pretty good at that point moving forward. So moving into, you know, week eight, where Ashley's HOH was finishing up, we thought we were getting Brittany out of the house. I felt really, really good at that point. I had Ashley and Pilar on one side. I had Bruno on the other side. And what looked like just Sarah and Godfrey left. So I was kind of licking my chops at that point. Little did I know that, you know, there was a coup d'etat in Brittany's pocket.
Yes. How shocked were you when Bruno used that POV on you during the triple eviction?
You know, it's crazy to think, because, you know, I know that not many people knew about Bruno and I's relationship, but then I watched Bruno very carefully throughout the game, how loyal he was to Greg early on. Then he moved on to Bobby. And I knew the night before Bobby left that Bruno was going to be a lone wolf in the game. So I pulled him aside the night before that. And I said, Bruno, you're a loyal guy. I want to work together. And I kind of rebuilt the relationship. I said, let's work on this together. I kind of put him in my pocket. I said, I know how loyal he is, and he wants to work with a guy in the game. That's who Bruno was. He wanted a bro, and he wanted to take a guy all the way to the end. So we built that up the night before the triple. When Bruno won the veto, I thought, you know what? If there's any truth to that conversation we had, maybe he'll use it. Did I think he was going to? No. I mean, maybe 20% chance he was going to use it. But that's the thing about Big Brother. It surprised the shit out of me. He put it around my neck, and I had a second life.
Okay. So you came up with this plan this week where you're going to make Brittany and Sarah try to think that Ashley and Pilar were going to join them. Did you ever feel like at some point that there's a chance that this could be working?
Oh, absolutely not. You know, the thing is when you're down and out in the game and I'm the clear-cut target at that point, and I don't win the veto, I know I'm going home. So I'm going to set a Hail Mary up just in case I don't win the veto.
Yes.
And you kind of get somebody to make a ridiculous play, like putting Godfrey up. Exactly. And getting, you know, maybe they do trust Pilar going in there saying, I want Zach out. So I set that Hail Mary up just in case, because I knew if I didn't win the veto, I was out the door. And you never know when you'll strike a lucky play like that.
Right. Now, when you were fighting for your life this week, it seemed like you were working on Brittany quite a bit, but not so much on Godfrey's vote. Was that something that we just didn't see, or did you feel like you just never had a chance to get Godfrey's vote?
Yeah, I worked on Brittany after Godfrey, actually. My original plan was to try and get Godfrey and then move over to Ashley and then say that I got a vote. I worked on Godfrey a little bit behind closed doors, and, you know, I just could tell, I could get the read from the guy. When you know, he just was never going to give me that vote. He was scared of another big guy in the house, and the way that he campaigned in front of me on the triple eviction, or on the coup d'etat night, when he was campaigning to get me out right in front of me on the couch to keep Bruno, I knew at that point I would never get a vote from him in this game, especially when my life was on the line. So I moved on to Brittany. I thought, again, I'm just sending out Hail Mary passes at this point. I thought maybe Brittany would turn on Sarah if I could strike some paranoia in her brain saying Sarah's going to turn on her, but it didn't happen. Here I am.
Yeah, did you feel like at any point in talking to Brittany that you had made progress and that there was a glimmer of hope?
You know, I didn't think I ever made progress until the night, I think it was, you know, two nights before eviction. I went into bed and I didn't say anything. And she kind of opened the conversation off saying, so I'm the next big target. And I kind of saw that she was a little bit scared that, you know, if I leave, people are going to want her out. So at that point, I'm just filling her ear with everything she wants to hear. Absolutely, Brittany, you're the biggest target, blah, 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 blah. And try and, you know, feed off of what I felt she was giving me. And, you know, maybe she was just playing it up a bit, but not much progress. The next day, I kind of realized when I tried to feed off of it again.
Okay. And then finally, last night, you said that you felt like Sarah was going to be the winner of Big Brother Canada 3. Why Sarah over anybody that's left?
The reason I thought Sarah last night, this was before Peely walked out the door, was I knew that Brittany was going to be the big target on the one side of the house. I knew Ashley was going to be on the other side. So I thought that, you know what, Sarah is kind of hiding behind these two kind of big targets, not big targets, but players that are probably going to go before her. And she might be someone that kind of just avoids the bullet in these last couple weeks here. And it might still happen. I don't know now that Peely's out on the outside. But I think that Sarah has played a really, really good social game. She's very convincing. And you know what? She's got Brittany to do a lot of work in the house. And Brittany's hands are real dirty. I can't see any of the other three taking her to the final seat now. So Sarah might be there.
Okay. Well, Zach, great job. I know a lot of people felt like you were right there and we were going to be the winner of the season. So sorry to see you go. Give my best to everybody in the jury house. And then we'll see you finale night next week.
I will. Right on, Rob. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye.
You too.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Captain Canada here with us on the Exit Interview podcast. And now here is my interview with Pilar.
Hi.
Pilar, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay. We're hanging in there. You know, sad to see you go last night in the double eviction. Were you surprised that Brittany and Sarah left Godfrey in the house instead of keeping you there heading into that final four?
I was pretty surprised. I was kind of expecting it, but at the same time, very surprised because the night before we were pushing it towards the final four. So them keeping Godfrey over me showed true colors with that decision. Now I know Sarah didn't really mean that final four or final two or whatever she told me. Yeah, true cause came out for sure last night. And I mean, I'm shocked still, but it is what it is. Best move, game move for her, absolutely. I mean, I don't blame her, but it is what it is. I mean, it was all about numbers. Ash and I were really tight, and it would have been the same for same deal with Brittany and Sarah.
Okay, so now with it down to four people left in the house, who do you think is going to win the game?
I'm going to go between, I hope Ashley wins the game. I'm rooting for her, but I think if she doesn't make it to final two, I think it's going to be between Sarah and Brittany. I mean, Brittany's made so many great moves because twists have fallen into her hands. Although Sarah has been the one feeding her, the options and, all these great moves that she should make or whatever. So it's technically Sarah's game into Brittany's hands. Like, Brittany's taking the blood. But, again, Ashley's playing a great game. I mean, if she managed herself to get into the final two right now, I would totally think she could take over the win. Because she's alone right now. So if she makes it to final two, that means that she has to win an HOH or a veto so she can take herself off and keep herself safe.
Pilar, how difficult was it for you in terms of the language barrier in playing a game like Big Brother?
It wasn't difficult whatsoever. I mean, it might have seemed like it was, but I understand it pretty well at this point. I know the game well to know what I'm doing. It wasn't a barrier. I mean, sometimes words come out not exactly the way I want them to, but that's okay. People understand. They know what I mean. Sometimes people have to break sentences down into my own language. But I mean, it's fair. It is what it is. I understand. I mean, it wasn't something that I was afraid of. No, I'm like, I understand everything and I'm not afraid to ask if I don't. So.
All right. Now you're going to go to the jury house and go see Kevin. Do you hope that this relationship with Kevin will continue on outside of the Big Brother house, or for you, was this just a, you know, Big Brother showmance?
No, I absolutely believe that this can work out outside of the house. I mean, the relationships that you build in the house, they're different than the outside, but you get to know a person way like deeper into the house in that short amount of time. You see each other 24/7 for six, whatever many days you're in the house. you build this bond that you can't really build with somebody else. Like, I feel like I know Kev more than I know some of my closest friends. So what was built in the house, it was totally real. Like, it wasn't just a game move. So I truly believe it can work out outside of the house.
Okay. Well, Pilar, thank you so much for coming on. Best of luck to you, and good luck in the jury house. And I guess we'll see you next week on finale night.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Pilar. All right, everybody. There you have it. That is Peely Pilar here on Rob Has a Podcast. All right. So we are going to get set now to let you enjoy your holiday weekend, but it's a lot going on here on Rob Has a Podcast here in the next couple of days. Of course, so much content from this past week between everything with the Survivor finale, the Survivor Final Five exit interviews, my conversation with Shane Powers, who came here last night. We have everything that happened with my wrap-up show with Josh Wiggler, and of course, the evolution of strategy. So if you have missed anything this week, there's a good 14, 15, probably, I mean, if you count the evolution of strategy there, you know, bordering on like 20 hours of content for you to listen to this weekend. So take your pick. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, everybody. And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.